desire and interest in your prayers this morning. My name is Michael Smith from Nixon, Missouri. Thank the Lord for His church this morning. And I'm thankful that the sisters sang their song here this morning. I'm thankful there's a place that we can come together and weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I just want to welcome all of you here this morning. I know that there are some from different places. Maybe you've come from some different churches. You've come from different countries. You've come from different backgrounds. But I want you to be welcome this morning. And as we look into the Word of God, if maybe you're just home folks too. And I want us all to be at home in the Lord today. But if there are some things this morning that you hear that you're not quite sure about, go home and ask your pastor, say, let's have Bible study. Because we don't have time to address every point. Have you ever gotten a book and just looked at the table of contents? We're going to look at a table of contents this morning. Now, I've written on the board, Doctrines of Zion. I feel like the Lord has been dealing with me, wanted me to share this morning. Some of the Doctrines of Zion. And there's not going to be a lot of time to deal with each one individually. But I want to give a little aerial view. Have you ever taken a flight and you're able to look down and just kind of see a big picture? Lord willing, this morning we're going to take a little flight. And would that we get a little aerial view of Zion this morning. If you'll begin reading with me in the 48th Psalm, beginning with verse 1. It said, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. You take note where holiness is found? It's found in God. Let's read on. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. You know that there is a place of refuge this morning? This word doctrine scares a lot of people. When you start talking about doctrine, what they have in mind is you're going to pull out a book somewhere that the ministers or someone has voted on that this is our creed. But when we talk about doctrines of Zion, we are talking about the Word of God this morning. And it is nothing for us to be afraid of. And if there are things that we're not quite there this morning, know that when we open up our heart to the Word of God, you will find life there. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? It'll set you free. Which means we don't need to be afraid of truth this morning. I will say that the devil has battled this message, so you all pray for me. But I took courage Sunday morning when Brother Ed said, we need to preach truth. And you know, we need to leave the results with God this morning. But if as a ministry, we fail to proclaim the full gospel, what's going to happen? People need to know what to come to. It's not coming to us, but when we come to God, He's laid down a plan. He's laid down a path that if we will follow it, we will find freedom. So I thank God for doctrine this morning. I'm thankful for truth, and I'm thankful for Zion. Verse 11, let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Do you rejoice at judgments this morning? Does that just start exciting you to know that there's judgments? Do you know we don't need to be afraid of God's judgments when our heart is right before God? Great peace have they which what? Love thy law and nothing shall offend them. Do you know, I've sat in services before, and the Word of God got pretty close. Lord, I'm not there. But you know, I didn't have to go away offended. It was, Lord, help me to get there. I may not be there right now, but Lord, that's where I want to go. Because, do you know, when we live the way that the Bible teaches us, that is the place where we will find the greatest victory. That's the place that we're going to find peace in our soul. That is the place that we're going to find the anointing of God. So let Mount Zion rejoice. Walk about Zion. We may do a little flying this morning. Fly about Mount Zion. Get an aerial view. and go around about her and tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces. Why? That you may tell it to the generations following. For this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death. Mount Zion is an emblem or represents the church of God. And we could as well put doctrines of the church of God. Do you know, some they say, well, what are the doctrines of the Baptists and the doctrines of the Methodists? I'm not afraid to say these are doctrines of the church of God. Because the doctrines of the church of God are the doctrines of Zion. We're talking about doctrines of the Word of God, which means those doctrines rise above what man has said. We are living in a generation, it seems like more than ever, that people are trying to adjust the doctrines. And do you realize it's out of style to backslide today? Have y'all noticed that too? People don't backslide like they used to. They just don't see it the same way. But do you know that the truth has not changed this morning? And we sometimes people wonder, where is the victory? Where is the anointing, folks? The Spirit of the Lord still rests in Zion this morning. So if we're not in Zion, we don't need to tear it down. We don't need to move these pillars here. But Lord, help me to get where your presence is. And if there's needs in my life, then Lord, help me. Walk about Zion. Remember in the prophet Jeremiah, and the Lord spoke and He said, stand in the way. And ask. And what were they supposed to ask for? The old paths. How long has it been since we've sung that song, give me that old time religion? It's been a while, hasn't it? Do you know that's what I want this morning? I want something that has worked. I want something where God's anointing has been. That's where I want to be. And I don't want to allow what I say, my conscience or my perspectives or my opinions. Folks, those things don't change Zion this morning. Zion is going to be there whether I'm in there or not. But the church of God are all those that love the Lord and are living in accordance to the Word of God. So walk around here and mark the bulwarks. In other words, the defenses. The things that hold it up. Doctrine means instruction. The instruction of Zion that came from the Word of God. Do you know that doctrine alone does not make us God's people? I have known people that had every I dotted and T crossed, and doctrinally, theologically, and they weren't part of God's church. Because they had a wrong spirit. But understand, remember the prophet looked on the bones and the question was asked, can these bones live? He said, I don't know. And the message was prophesy. And when he began to prophesy, those bones began to come together. It gave structure. It began to hold up. It gave a form. And then he said, prophesy again. And the Spirit of the Lord came in and gave life. Doctrines do not give life by themselves, but folks, without them, do not expect the anointing and the power of God in our lives. When we go back to the temple and also the tabernacle, God laid out a blueprint, did He not? The priests did not come together and vote and have business meeting and vote on what color the carpet ought to be. God told them exactly how to make it. And when they made it, they gave the form and the structure. And that is when the glory of God came down and filled the tabernacle. Folks, God still wants to glorify individuals. He wants to come in and anoint His people in a greater way. But we need to understand the structure is important. Because that's when God looks down and said, now I can come down with my Spirit. And I can anoint. Mark ye well the bulwarks. Folks, we need to hearken to the sound of the trumpet this morning. There are many voices in the world, and there are many churches, many groups of people that are saying, this is the way. But there is still only one way. Just because a lot of people say they have the way does not take away from the truth that there is still only one true way. Amen? There is one way this morning, and we live in a time people say, you do it your way, I'll do it mine, we're all going to just trying to get to heaven. If we want the anointing and the power of God, it must be done God's way. So Lord, help me then to die out. Well, I don't see it. Then Lord, open up my spiritual eyes. Because where there is no vision, the scripture says, what happens to the people? They perish. We are in a battle this morning. It's a battle of Armageddon, a battle between truth and error. And I want to be living in a safe place. I don't want to see how close to the world I can get and how close to the edge, because I want to be in a place of safety. And in Zion, there is safety this morning. And I am thankful for our heritage this morning. But more than just heritage, I am thankful for the reality of Zion. I am thankful for the reality of the presence of God leading and guiding and giving victory over sin. The path is marked this morning. And that's the reason why Paul told Peter, he said, take heed unto thyself. You can find that in 1 Timothy 4:16. Now, before we go on, there's a time it's good when the preacher's preaching to have your Bible out. And it's good to turn. It'll help you stay awake. It helps you to focus, to turn with it. But when you're flying, sometimes you're just getting a little glimpse here and there. So if you want to sit and just listen this morning, that's all right. Take heed unto thyself. And unto what? Unto the doctrine. It's not a bad word. Because it's instruction. Take heed to the doctrine. And continue in them. Don't forsake them. Do not leave them. It troubles me when I hear the young people say of truths that the Bible teaches. They say, we've never heard that before. I've never heard that. Then go home and, oh brother, fellow ministers, Lord help us to declare the whole truth. Take heed to the doctrine and continue in them. Why? For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Because it is a call. It is a call to rise above where we are, to come into Mount Zion, to know what God has fitly joined together. The structure of Zion. So walk about Zion this morning. Let's take a survey of Zion. Lord, help us to recognize it's fortified. Who is the light of the world? Someone help me. You are. The church is to be the light of the world. We've heard this through this meeting. Have you noticed there's this common thread that the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with? We are called to be the light of the world. But folks, unless we're plugged in, we heard it the other day, unless we're plugged into the power source, there's no light. We've got to get plugged in this morning, and it's not going to be done. I know we all respect our own opinions, but frankly, my opinions and your opinions aren't going to cut it this morning. We need something that rises above. Lord, help me then. Lord, help us to look to your way, your path, and then walk therein. In Zion, we have a rule of faith, and it's called the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you say, what do we believe this morning? We believe the Word of God. I was in another country one time, and we were going to have ministers' meeting. Number of ministers there from different denominations and different places. And some of them, they were a little concerned, what are you going to teach? And I think they expected me to pull out and say, now this is our creed book. And I told them, you don't have to worry. Everything that I teach you is going to be from the Bible. This is the creed. This is what we go by. When people say, why do you do that? Well, and again, I appreciate our heritage. But it's going to have to go beyond just what those that have gone before us have done. So if I go back and say back in 1948, there was a resolution passed by the ministers, such and such. I'm going to take note of that. I want to give respect to the ministry, but understand something. The reason why we do what we do in Zion is because there is something in the Word of God that's what we're measuring to. And when people say, why do you do this? It goes beyond tradition. Tradition is good. There's good tradition. But it goes down to something deeper that thus saith the Word of God. This is the creed. This is our rule book this morning. And if we ever get beyond it and start relying on consensus, we're going to get in trouble. Because we're in a battle this morning. And we need to come back to some foundations today. We need to be sure that our children, the young people, are solid and settled. And they sometimes people say things are tradition. And I'm thinking, no, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of the Lord. So let's come back. This is our creed this morning, thank God. The whole Word of God. We take a part of it. Do you know, I know I've been places and you all know what I'm talking about. I ask him at home. I'm just preaching to home folks now, okay? You can go places and people have these little buttons that you can push that'll get them going. And I know there are people, if I get on this doctrine, they're going to get an amen out of the deep freeze because that's kind of one thing that excites them. And then you can come on and push another little button over here. Folks, we need the whole Word of God. The whole thing together, fitly joined and framed together. Not one of the stakes or the cords should be removed in Zion. That's what's supporting. That's the structure. That's where the anointing of the Lord is to be found. If I came and said, let's remove these pillars right here, what would happen to this structure? Let's get rid of this wall too, by the way. But look at how much we have left. What's going to happen to this building through time? It's going to start caving in, isn't it? So we need the whole Word of God. This is our creed. Young people, this is what we believe this morning. You say, why do you all do what you do and don't do what you don't do? It is because thus saith the Word of God. And if you don't understand it all, that's okay. But just keep following the Lord and don't discount the Word of God. And the example, when you see God's anointing somewhere, be careful about saying, I don't see it that way, so I'm going to do it different. Lord, help us to walk in place of safety and recognize the bulwarks, the defenses that are around Zion, that we might tell it to the generations following. One of the primary fundamental doctrines of Zion, of the Church of God, is that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the power and the ability to live free from sin. Amen. Most places, nominal Christianity does not teach that. The religious literature is inundated with the idea that you cannot live free from sin. Scripture, Matthew 1:21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in what? In Christ. That's the answer this morning. It's Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What happens to those old things? They're passed away. They're gone. Why? Because I repented, Brother Carl. Because I turned away from it. And behold, all things are become new. Folks, it's not enough to come to an altar of prayer and say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to try a little bit harder. There is a work through the blood of Jesus Christ that can take the sinner and work a miraculous change that I'm not the person I used to be. That we can go and when the devil comes in tempting with sin, I can say by the blood of Jesus Christ, no. And I can live free from sin. I don't lie. I don't cheat. Faithful to my wife. How? Because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will enable you to do what you cannot do for yourself. Sin. He'll save us from our sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Well, I just don't see it that way anymore, brother. I still love the Lord. I'm still saved. God knows my heart. Folks, be careful. God knows our heart, but if our heart is right, if our heart is holy before the Lord, then we are going to embrace the doctrines of Zion. Because this is God's way now. And if I know the Bible teaches something, and I say no, I'm in danger with God. And what makes it difficult, and I want to encourage the congregation this morning to pray for your pastors. It's a little easier to preach here. You know why? Because there's more of you. Pastors sitting there in the congregation, maybe small in number, and you know, without fail, any place you go, there's going to be people that aren't living like they ought to be living. And it makes it difficult then, because the minister's not trying to preach it anyway, but when they declare the whole word of truth, you know what the ministry gets accused of? You're preaching at us. No, we're preaching to you, sharing you something that if you will accept it and rise to it, you'll find victory in your life. You may say, I've got all these posts here and I'm doing good here, but there's a place you're struggling. It might be because there's another area of your life that you're not being obedient to God in. You're not being obedient to God, and if you would shore that place up, you're going to find victory over the enemy. And it's easier to attack the messenger than it is the message. Because most of us here, we have this theological understanding that we don't tell God no. So it's easier just to attack the ministers, isn't it? So y'all, pray for your ministers. Be a support to your ministers. And be very careful about tearing down the messages that the Spirit of God sends through His servants. You know, when you're flying and you get behind time, you have to speed up a little bit. What makes us part of Zion this morning? What does? Salvation. Do you know that's doctrine? Acts in the second chapter, the Lord added to the church daily such as what? Should be saved. Those that are saved are part of the church of God. We do not have a membership book? The membership book is in heaven. And that's where our rejoicing is, because, you know, men get it wrong. There are people that say, well, my name's on the church book and everybody thinks I'm pretty spiritual, so I'm all right. All the time, things going on in their life that's not right. The Lord keeps the membership book this morning. And everybody that is saved, this is fundamental to this Reformation message of this Reformation, Church of God, is that salvation makes you a member. Many of us have on our chapel signs where salvation makes you a member. But I have a question for us this morning. Do we still believe that? Do we practice that? Do you know that we want our beliefs to be hand in hand with our practice? That means that, you know, anywhere someone repents of their sin, wherever they're worshiping, wherever in the world they are, and they turn away from their sin and become a new creature, they're part of the church of God, whether they know it or not. I want them to know it, though. I want them to know you need to. There's something. There's Zion. There's a place that you can come, that the walls are there. There's a place where the defenses against false doctrine are there. There are defenses against the tide of the world. There's a place of safety in Zion this morning. But that means that there will be people that come amongst us, and people that we go out to as ambassadors for Christ, that will not understand all of the doctrines of Zion. But we can still embrace their salvation when they have been saved and living for the Lord. But there's a place, then that's why the Lord gave the ministry, was for the perfecting of the saints till they come in the unity of what? The faith. That's why the Lord gave the ministry. And so we then want to be welcoming to those that would come or those that we would go to. Don't be open to false doctrine, but Lord, help us to have a vision that it is God that does the saving. I don't have the grace. So if someone says I'm saved, then Lord, help us as part of Zion to give people the benefit if there is a doubt. Amen? Where salvation makes you a member. Who is the head of the body? Who's the head of Zion this morning? The head of the church of God. Christ. Do we still believe that? Do you know that that's doctrinal? And I don't want it just to be an idea. or a concept. But the Scripture teaches us very clearly in Colossians in the first chapter, He, speaking of Christ, is before all things. And by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church. Folks, He is the foundation, He's the founder. Someone said, who's the founder of your church? Which reformer you want to name? Let's go all the way back to foundations. Because practically, that's who we are. I know the Faith and Victory paper is not in circulation anymore. You know what I've heard? How are we going to be identified? Who are we? I'll tell you who we are. You know who I want to be? I want to be right here. I want to be in Zion. That we're identified by the principles that the Lord has laid down in His Word. Because there are 30 to 50 churches in the United States at least that do not fellowship with each other, and they all call themselves Church of God. Have a common history with us in the Reformation of the 1880s. Common history, no longer fellowship with each other. So what is going to identify us as we move forward in time? Lord, may it be that there is still a place where the trumpet is being sounded clearly and loudly, where there are people that love God with all of their heart, that the Spirit of the Lord can come in and anoint and bless with His presence. There's freedom in Christ this morning. There's freedom in Jesus Christ this morning. I remember Sister Catherine Williams used to sit right over there, I believe. Remember her testifying and saying when she left Babylon, she met one of the deacons or the bishops of her church, and he said, Sister Catherine, he said, where are you worshiping? And she said, I'm worshiping the Lord, and she said, I'm free. And he said, you mean you don't have a bishop telling you what to do? And she said, no. She said, I'm free in the Lord. I still believe that this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, do you know this isn't a free-for-all this morning? Some say, well, you need more organization. This is one of the few places that we can come together and you're not handed a program when you come in. Why is that? Because we want the Spirit of the Lord to have liberty. And some say, well then, it's just a free-for-all. No. No, Lord, help me to be under control of the Spirit. It doesn't mean anytime something comes to my mind, I get up and talk. It doesn't mean anytime I think something, I say it. We are to be led by the Spirit of God. In that where the Spirit is, there's liberty, though. He wants to be able to work and move amongst and give gifts to the body as it pleases Him for the edification of the body of Christ. We are one body, but many members. There is still this morning a call to unity, because how many churches does God have? Do we really believe that? I've been in places, you know, a man has two wives, polygamist. Got one wife here and one wife. He builds a little separate hut for each of his wives. Drive along and see the little fence there with his different huts. It's like, how many wives does he have? How many wives does the Lord have? You said it, there's one. Do you know then that there is still a call that is still relevant today? Some say, well, the message isn't relevant. Yes, it's still relevant. To come out of her, my people. Come out of what? Babylon. Come out of confusion. Come out, because I'll tell you folks, you can get saved anywhere the Spirit of God deals with your heart. You can get saved in the Baptist church. Do you believe that? You can. But I want to tell you something. It's hard to stay saved. It's hard to stay saved when you're under this diet of you can't live free from sin. You can't live free from sin. There's some truth. There's a lot of truth that's being preached places. But under a diet of something that is false, it is hard to prosper and grow. So Lord, help us. The message then is still relevant. Come out of Babylon. Come out of false churches and be united in one body with Jesus Christ. We are in this morning another fundamental doctrine of Zion. We are in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is now. Jesus said, it's within you. Otherwise, my servants would be fighting. The kingdom of God is not something that we're looking to come at a later date. There are many that teach that there will be a millennial reign. That when Jesus comes back, he will set up a kingdom on this earth. Folks, Jesus has already set that kingdom up. And it's in my heart. It means that when all of the things around me look discouraging, I recognize I'm a citizen of another country. I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger just passing through. So Lord, help us not to get bogged down so much with the troubles of this life, because we have a kingdom that shall never be removed. And we can experience that kingdom of power this morning. As children of the kingdom of God, then, our citizenship is of heaven. Our citizenship is not of this world. Now, I pray for us. The Lord has a truth I'd like to share this morning. He's put on my heart so definitely. As children in the kingdom of God, then, we need to be very careful. The scripture teaches us, it's doctrinal now, the word of God, not to get entangled with the affairs of this life. We are called to be soldiers of what? Soldiers of the cross. Soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ. I want us to go back to when Jesus walked this earth. And Israel was under the authority of the Roman Empire. They were there unjustly. They were the invaders. And what did Jesus tell his disciples? He said, when those soldiers, and this is what he was talking about, by the Roman law, a soldier could tell an Israelite, carry my bag. By law, they could only make him carry it 1 mile. And Jesus told his people, he said, when they compel thee to go a mile, he didn't say to resist. He did not say to take up arms. He said, go with them 2 miles. Because we're citizens of another country. If there is a difficulty down in Mexico or in Canada or in another country, we can sympathize with the difficulties that that country is having, yes? But I'm not going to go and join the military of those countries because I'm a citizen of the United States. So if they're having a problem down in Mexico, I'm not going to go join the military in Mexico. Where are we citizens of this morning? We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And from the early morning church, and I look around, I don't know who all, I know Brother Ed and my father and some of you others of that age, when their draft came up to go to war, they served their country in another way. They were conscientious objectors. And the ministers got together not to establish, and it was in 1948, I believe. It wasn't to establish a creed, but it was to help with the legal ramifications that the government would know that we believe in peace. And we are conscientiously opposed to taking up arms and going to war. And I'm not getting any amens, but folks, this is Bible. Paul, all of the disciples, save John, lost their lives and refused to take up arms when they were treated unjustly because they were citizens of another country. And you can follow the history of God's people through time that have stood against the tide of war. They have stood praying. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. And still today, that is what the Bible teaches us. He's called us to peace. And I would also add to this, and again, we're going to have to move. It's not an in-depth Bible study on that subject. But understand this, that the Scripture teaches us in Daniel, it says that it is God that places kings and governors in authority. He puts them up and he takes them down. The Scripture also teaches us that he has placed rulers and placed governments for the purpose of punishing the evildoer. So we are living under grace, so we are called to a higher law. But we experience this freedom, and I will speak specifically of our country. We have the liberty to worship like we are because there have been those that have spilt their blood that we might have this liberty, and we appreciate that. And I am thankful to God for that. But understand, that is of this world. that is of another country. We as citizens in Zion are called to a higher law. So I want to encourage especially you young children, you young men. I want you to know that there is power in trusting God for the things of this life. You are citizens of another country in a heavenly country, and it still behooves God's people today to stand for peace and pray for the leaders of our land, pray for those that protect us in our government. We are to pray that we can lead a quiet and a peaceable life. At an unknown time, Jesus is going to come back as a thief in the night. And there is going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a resurrection, Jesus said, a resurrection unto damnation and a resurrection unto life. When Jesus comes back, He's not setting up an earthly kingdom. He's already done that. He's already set it up. It's a spiritual kingdom. And we're going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And when the word is spoken, the scripture says that this earth is going to be burned. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. This earth is going to, He's not going to come. There's not going to be a great tribulation. There's not going to be something that gives people another opportunity. You know, that's where this doctrine of the millennial comes from. It's a mess when you try to start looking into all those false doctrines. And the best way to counter false doctrine, saints, is to know what the Bible teaches. Best way to counter it. But you get into post-tribulation and pre-tribulation, and it starts getting mixed, and you can think about anything you want and find someone that's written a book on it. But the scripture says that when Jesus comes back, He's ushering us into the judgment, and this earth is going to be destroyed. There are no second chances. Today is the day of salvation. And that's why we need to give heed to that doctrine. You say, why does the doctrine millennial really matter? Because there is no second chance. Today is the day. Now is the accepted time. One of the identifying marks of the people of God, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if what? If you have love one to another. Do you know that is so principle in Zion? You know that there is a doctrine of love? That's instruction. Love your neighbor as yourself. And what has given doctrine, and again, I'm just going to talk to home folks now. What has given doctrine such a bad name in some people's mind is that they look on some people that have all of these doctrines right, some of these other maybe external things, maybe everything's just lined up, but they don't have the spirit of love. And so what people say then is, well, that's just self-righteousness, and you're a hypocrite. And so then they try to undermine the doctrines that the Bible teaches. Just because someone holds the truth in unrighteousness, it still doesn't change the truth. But our purpose should be as God's people, Lord, we want to hold the truth in righteousness. Speaking the truth in love. Love is an identifier. And when those that are weak in the faith, and those that are struggling to come to that place where the Lord wants them, you know, there ought to be a place of safety in Zion where there's people that will still love you and forgive you. And if you've fallen and skinned your knee, maybe you've just made a big mess of things, that Zion will love you and draw you in because you're one of us and we want to make it. That Zion, folks, isn't that a good place? I say as a psalm, this is beautiful for situation, that there's a place when I make a mess that y'all still love me. By this shall all men know. What is the motivation to follow these doctrines of Zion? What's the motivation? It's love. If we are motivated by anything other than love, folks, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. We can have all of the theology right, but if we do not have the most important doctrine of love and humility and long-suffering, all these doctrines are going to be empty in people's lives. But just because some have misused it, folks, it doesn't change the truth of the Word of God. So Lord, help us to be an humble people, a people of love, a people that are welcoming. Come on the grounds where people say, well, can I come to church because I'm dressed like this? Oh, we just want you to come. We're just glad you're here. We want you to be where you can hear the truth, something that can feed your spirit and minister to you. But if you're not there, then don't get the rest of us in trouble for still preaching the same truth. When you come and we say, well, I don't do it that way, don't get us in trouble for still preaching this old time religion. Because this is the answer. There's life in this. There's life and there's victory. The greatest of these is love. That's right. We can give our bodies to be burned. We can make all sacrifices. But if we don't have love, it's not going to profit us anything. Relationship with Jesus Christ is fundamental. And I would just encourage and challenge us this morning that when we begin to look at these doctrines of Zion, to know that if you see doctrines as rules, because, okay, when you're little, someone comes and says, what do you believe? Do you know what the response is? At least it used to be. I'm not sure it is much anymore. The response used to be is, well, what do you believe? And we're little. It's, well, I don't have a television. I don't go to the doctor. Oh, beautiful for situation. No, do you know there's something, if you see doctrines of Zion as rules, you've missed the essence of the foundation of why I do what I do. The reason why I don't do some things isn't just so you all will look on approval and say, okay, Brother Michael kind of fits in. I want to please the Lord. And if there's something that's going to hinder my relationship with God, if there's something that's going to hinder the anointing of God and my heart is right, then I'm going to say, Lord, would you help me? And I'm willing to give this up. And I know it hurts in the flesh, but Lord, I love you more than the things of this world. And so then when the ministry gives a warning about things, there's a reason. Because the enemy works through that. The things in and of themselves will not save me. I'm saved because of the blood. And what motivates my obedience should be because of my relationship with God. Because of my love. Lord, I do this because I love you. Another very foundational doctrine of Zion is the doctrine, second work of grace, of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There have been many splits and divisions amongst Church of God professing people. But folks, the Scripture is still clear. Jesus from the beginning, He told His disciples, tarry ye in Jerusalem until what? You be endued with power from on high. There are many doctrines that have brought confusion, but folks, in its simplicity, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would give us power. Power to do what? Power to say no to the world. Power to say no to myself, and power to say yes to God. The Lord never wanted us to give our heart to the Lord and repent of our sin and go some long period before coming and receiving the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. That was a complete plan of salvation. And He comes, every example in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came to believers. Subsequent, after they had repented of their sins. Every example, folks. Some say, well, I don't see it, or my experience is different, folks. We're not judging the doctrines of Zion on our experience this morning. We're judging it upon, thus saith the Word of God. There is still power this morning to live a holy life. And it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, all of that fruit. It takes that power of the Holy Spirit for us to grow and prosper in the Lord. Obadiah 1 verse 17, it says, but upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and there shall be holiness. Upon Mount Zion there shall be holiness. Folks, holiness is homogeneous. It means the same throughout. It means purity. The word church itself means called out, doesn't it? Set apart. Upon Mount Zion there shall be holiness. And thus the reason why John said, love not the world. Don't love the world, neither the... Okay, here we come to things now. Neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because the Lord wants our love. In our world, there is much idolatry in our world. Idolatry is something that people worship. What does the world worship then? I know you don't need me to name them. I'm going to, though. Some of them. What does the world worship? Sports. We don't even have to discuss that. It's there. The world has made sports an idol. There is a reason. It's not that it's wrong to go down and play a game of volleyball. But folks, there is great danger this morning in getting actively involved and wrapped up in organized sports because it has become an idol to the world. It's where people's affections are. And the Lord's saying, I want your love. And I'll sacrifice church. I'll sacrifice money that could be going to something positive. And I'm expending myself for the idols of this world. And so we say then it's not just tradition, but let the world itself tell us where their idols are. And if we get offended at the ministry when they name them out, then so be it. But folks, when we can come and recognize there's a danger there, and Lord, I want my love to be poured out to you, you're going to find greater victory and greater peace. You're not going to find it, though, if you're just doing it for the wrong reasons. It's all when it's motivated because, Lord, I love you. And that's why you said love, not the world. Neither the things. We are being driven in this world. And it's been mentioned in this meeting at least once. But people are being driven by fashion, by the clothing industry. People are being driven. But do you know that there's doctrine that addresses those things? There's doctrine. It doesn't really, again, matter how we see it. What matters is that there's Scripture that addresses these things. And in those words, there's life. There's power when we say yes to it. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in what? In your body and in your spirit. So this mentality of, well, God knows my heart. He knows your heart, but He also knows what's on the outside. Glorify God. A God that is pure. A God that is holy. Folks, the Lord wants Zion to be a reflection of His holiness. Of His purity. But we're living in a time many are being drawn to the world. Yes, there was a mixed multitude in the time of Christ too. But as long as the Word of God is continued to be taught and preached and lived, it can still set a shining example of what the Lord wants and what He's pleased with in our life. The Scripture says over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, we're going to read it. He said in like manner that women would adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold of pearls or costly array. Do you know the word there is speaking to the women? But there are many direct applications to the brothers of two. Modesty. Simplicity. I don't want something to draw undue attention to self. But are those the rules that the clothing industry is following? No. The clothing industry is doing things to promote the flesh. Which means as children of God, you know, people can't see your spirits immediately, but they do see the outside. So Lord, help us then on the outside as well, that we would reflect that holiness of God. He said not with pearls, not with costly array, not with gold. Folks, this is doctrine in Zion. But we can say, well, I'm going to hold to this doctrine, but I'm going to let this one go. What are we in danger of right there then? We've just compromise and let go something the Scripture teaches us. That word, modest apparel in the Greek, is kosmios katastole, which means a garment let down. And again, we don't have time for a lengthy Bible study on each of these particulars this morning, but do you understand that women wearing a garment let down is more than just a tradition of this country? It's more than a tradition. In other words, they're not a crotch garment like pants. It's a garment that is let down. Even from the time of Christ, women, that their robes were looser than the men's. And those that had a slit in their robes were called showers of the thigh. It was considered nakedness. Well, where are we at today? Lord, help us to dress in a way that is reflective of the holiness and the purity of God. And when someone says, well, our culture has changed. Yes, it has changed. And I know maybe there's more blues than greens, and that's okay. But I still need to follow what the Bible teaches me. women, godly women, would still wear a garment let down. And you know, just the whole concept of shamefacedness takes care of a lot of the things that we're seeing creeping in among people that are professing to be saved this morning. Shamefaced. There goes the outward adornment, the makeup, and the things to draw attention and to beautify. Folks, we don't need this. Holiness is beautiful. The Scripture said, I'll beautify who? I'll beautify the meek with salvation. I'm a citizen of another country this morning. Oh, the doctrines of Zion, folks, they're beautiful. But let's embrace them. Let's not be afraid of them this morning. But let us walk in the light of the Word of God. Say briefly, said not the wearing of gold or of pearls. And you know there's principle involved in that. And I can start putting on the extra and say, well, it's not gold. But there's a principle that we're to dress in simplicity. Why? Not just so you'll accept me. We can give in to peer pressure among the saints, just like peer pressure of the world. But if I'm going to be swayed by anybody, do you know who I want it to be? I want it to be the saints of God. But I'm going to have to go beyond that. I'm going to have to get a place in my experience with God that I've got to walk with God. The Lord, I love you and I embrace this. And so then I'm going to be willing, Lord, to say no to myself. And I will just make one observation here. You know, say about a wedding ring. You know what has bound me to my wife? Been married how long? I should probably need 22 years. Okay. Do you know that it wasn't a ring on my finger that has bound me to my wife? It was a love in our hearts. And you know, it is that love in your hearts that binds. Some say, well, but the world, they can recognize that I'm married. I will just ask this, how's it working for the world? I mean, really, saints? Really? We can go down that road, but folks, we can't get down that road very far before we recognize the ring doesn't mean anything. We are bound by love. So guess what? A ring's not going to keep me from being unfaithful or being faithful. It's the love in my heart and devotion to God and the devotion to my wife. So that's what we ought to do when people look on. They say, you're married, aren't you? Yeah, I'm married. How do you know that? Because you're faithful. Over it was in Ghana. You wouldn't hardly know who's married over there. Husbands and wives are not together very much. And we were there for a couple of years before we started to figure out who's married to who. And they told us one time when Renee was there with me, they said, she's like your sister. In other words, we were together all the time. Communion. One of the other sisters there told me this year. She said, and there's a brother from Nigeria there. She said, the brother from Nigeria and you, she said, you're on the phone with your wives all the time. And they're kind of looking at their husbands. Why don't you call us? In other words, there's a relationship. There's a relationship of love that binds us together. And I don't need the things of the world to testify to the love that's in my heart. Things of this world won't keep me from sinning, but the grace and power of God will. Amen. I'm not going to say I'm sorry, and I'm not going to ask permission. I believe the Lord wants me to keep going. Doctrines of Zion. The Scripture says very clearly in Luke in the 16th chapter and the 18th verse, it says, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marries her that is put away from her husband commits adultery. Folks, it's a doctrine of Zion. Because the Lord, He wanted to preserve the institution of marriage. And there is so much confusion in the world. And it gets so muddled. And I know there are difficult situations. But the truth still remains that when we get married, in the eyes of God, that is for life. And death is the only thing that separates that bond. And some would say, yes, but what if they're guilty? Do you read anything about a guilty party here? He said, if you put away your wife and you go marry someone else, he says, you've committed adultery. And the one that marries your wife, he commits adultery already. And you say, but Brother Michael, what about, was it Matthew 19 and Matthew 23? Those scriptures, without, again, getting into Bible study, he was addressing the Jewish people who had an espousal period that was kind of like an engagement on steroids, if you will. And if you were going to break that engagement, you had to get a writ of divorcement. So he was speaking to the Jewish people that understood that. But all of the other Gospels, and in Romans and in Hebrews, they don't address that. Because other cultures didn't have that custom. If you marry someone, it's for life. And that doctrine has not changed. And it becomes a little difficult when we have family members and people we love and we hurt with them and we cry with them. It gets hard to begin to preach that. You know, when you just got that little congregation. But folks, it's still in Zion. It's still doctrine. So young people, follow the doctrine when it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That has wide ramifications, but there's no greater communion or fellowship than in marriage. So don't look outside of the faith. Marry someone that has a close walk with God and is living a holy life. It doesn't ensure that you won't have problems in the road, but you can sure eliminate a whole lot of problems. You can eliminate a whole lot of problems. Let's let the Word of God guide us. We heard yesterday morning about baptism, three ordinances in Zion: baptism, feet washing, and the Lord's Supper. Full immersion baptism, going all the way down under. When I got saved, He didn't just sprinkle a little blood on me. He made me a new creature. I went down in the grave and came up resurrected. That's why we practice and believe. The Scripture teaches it. Full immersion baptism. Amen. You know, it's God that sets the members in the body. The doctrine. God sets the members in the body. And I would that we never deviate from that. God sets the members. It's not by election. It's not by committee approval. God sets the members. He puts the gifts in the body and He bestows those things. But with that, I want to also say this. That where God gives a gift, it will be evident to other godly people that God gave you that gift. And if you begin to exercise in a gift, and your brothers and sisters in the Lord say, give you some cautions. Be careful. Be careful that we don't say, well, God gave me this gift. Who do you think you are? A gift, folks, will make room for itself. And God will prove through time that He is the gift giver. And as God blesses and leads, the body of Christ will acknowledge that and be able to see the evidence of God. So, there's a reason why it has been the practice of the ministers not to go to seminary. But I have another word to the ministers as well this morning. That doesn't make us exempt from studying. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You go to seminary, and it happened in Anderson, Indiana, with this Church of God movement in about 1920, 1930, when they established a seminary. It was not long before they had atheists teaching classes to the up-and-coming ministers. We don't need that this morning. When the people looked on, and it's not saying that we're not ever to get education, but I'm not going to get a gift from going to school. That is a divine thing the Spirit of God gives. Qualified in doctrine. And I would just caution us this morning as we look in these doctrines of Zion. God qualifies and He calls. And He calls and He qualifies. Which means it does not behoove someone to try to exercise themselves in a position that they have not been called to. I tell the folks at home, I said, when we come to Monarch, I said, if you don't pray at home, don't pray at Monarch. If you don't exhort at home, don't exhort at Monarch. In other words, you start with your local folks that grow and allow the Lord to use you and bless you. And when you come into a larger group, you've been in tune with the Spirit of the Lord and can know when He says to speak up or to be quiet. Amen. Monarch's not the common place, and start to practice a gift that God, you feel God has given. Start practicing at home. Live it at home among the people that know you best. Amen. Brother Danny, what do you think if I called you Reverend Danny? Reverend Adams. Do you all know there's a doctrine? There's a doctrine for that. There's a reason why we don't do that. I don't want someone to call me Pastor Michael. No, that is an office. It is an office. Jesus told the disciples over in the book of Matthew 23, he talked to the scribes and Pharisees, and he said, you love to receive the greetings from the people. You love to be called rabbi, rabbi. But he said, but ye are not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And he said, all you are brethren. The ministry, we are one in Jesus Christ. Workers together for a common cause in Zion. Scripture says over in 1 Peter 5, 2, talk to the ministry. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed them which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You know, this morning, that is why, as ministers of Zion, and saints, you need to understand this. If you came and said, Brother Michael, we'll give you $60,000 if you'll come and pastor us. Now, that would look good in the flesh, but I don't want it. Because we're not a hireling ministry. It's why the ministers do not accept wages. We live in faith. We live because when difficulties come, I don't want to know who gives and what happens, because I want my accountability to be to God. And so then I'm not afraid to preach what the Lord gives, because someone might be offended and my pay may go down. Those things we leave with God. We're not a hireling ministry. A hireling ministry, when the wolf comes in, the hireling ministry leaves for a greener pasture. But pastors and shepherds that love the flock, when there is danger, it would be easy to walk away. It would be much easier on the flesh. But now, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you, and we'll be there in the good times and the bad times, because we want God's blessings to come through. So, saints, that, and I'm going to be closing down here shortly, that brings us to a very important point that is important for us to understand one of these doctrines of Zion. The New Testament does not teach tithing. We know that? Tithing was an Old Testament practice, but the New Testament teaches giving. Teaches giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He was talking about and referencing in the Old Testament, they had the box of the tithe. And then they had a box of love. And you had, when you came in, according to the law, you had to put in your tithe. But then out of the abundance of your love for God, you put in that other box. So in the New Testament, he said, we're doing away with the box of necessity. And now we're just giving of our love freely. That means then that we are not limited to 10%. But Lord, everything that I have is yours. And that means, Lord, and I know it's fine, and all of us need to do some purposing in our heart to give of our first fruits to God. But we say, well, Lord, I already gave that. And there's a need, and the Spirit puts on your heart, it's time to pull out your billfold and give to the Lord. Because, Lord, it's all yours. I believe the Lord would like me to mention, if any of you are sick, what does the Scripture say to do? It said to call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Do you know that has been a blessing that we have had as a people of God? And I will say this morning that some look on, and when we do that, there's a call in the Scripture. The Scripture also says that by his stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, said we are healed. Firstly, spiritually. But when Jesus was physically healing the sick, the disciples quoted that scripture as it was said by the prophet. By his stripes we are healed. Folks, there is still healing in Zion this morning. There is a great privilege that we have to trust the Lord for the healing of our bodies. And I will say that when faith, a walk of faith, when you are sick, is a very personal relationship with God. I have seen people and understand, and I say this in love, but I have seen people that have sat at home suffering, and they were finding their salvation in the fact that they said, I'm not going to do something. I'm trusting the Lord. And they were carnal, and they were bitter, and they didn't get along with their husband, their wife. And you sit back and scratch your head thinking, there's no blessing in what you're doing there. There's no blessing in that. But if we can know this morning there's a blessing, when we can say, Lord, I love you, and I'm placing my life in your hands to work as you would work, live or die, suffer or not. Folks, there are sometimes God chooses not to heal physically. But I will say there are things that we gain in our walk with God going through suffering. There is a depth in the relationship with God when you place yourself in His hands that I can recommend to you this morning. I can recommend God. I can recommend placing your life in His hand and saying, Lord, I don't know the outcomes, but I believe that you're going to do what's best in my life. I recommend it to you, but I also recommend to you this morning when your brothers and sisters, maybe their faith is lacking and maybe there's a place that they didn't do exactly what you are, that you're still there, we're still there to support you and love you and to visit you and embrace you, to be there to encourage your faith and strengthen you in the Lord. Brother Went had something done that maybe I wouldn't have done. I remember he may be here this morning, and I hope it's all right I share this. But he told me one time, he said, if the saints will just let me sit on the back bench. And I said, brother, you come on, there's a bench in the front for you. Oh, do you know the Lord, we're on a journey this morning. We're on a journey of faith, and as we go in Zion, the Lord reveals and we grow in the Lord. We want to be here to support each other and love each other. But I recommend the Lord to you this morning. It's a privilege to live by faith in every area of life. I'd like to bring to a close. Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4, He said that the time is coming and now is when the true worshipers would worship in what? Spirit and in truth. You know, those are coupled together. Lord, we want to live according to these instructions, the doctrines of Zion, that the Spirit of God can come in and fill that place. That He can be pleased to say, these are my people. And that is one of the reasons, just in a very small practical sense, why we don't have musical instruments in here this morning. It's because the Scripture teaches us in the New Testament to sing. Worship from the heart is what is acceptable to God. The music that comes from men's hands, it doesn't glorify God in and of itself, but true worship is of the heart. And so I don't want something else to interfere with that worship that we have to God. And you know, some of you may look and say, well, I don't understand it all, and there's a lot more that could be said there. But you know that most of the major denominations in this country used to teach against musical instruments in active worship service? Most of the major denominations used to teach it. We're not strange this morning. They just all left some principles that they one time understood. There's a reason why we live and practice like we do. In closing, Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He taught them to go out and make disciples. Folks, that's our commission. We come to meetings like this for the purpose of being recharged, for the purpose of encouraging each other, that we can go out and share the good news of the gospel with those that have needs in their life. So in closing, I encourage you, as did Jude, may we earnestly contend for the faith. What faith? The faith that's from this Word of God right here. May we earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints, because, folks, this is the faith where the anointing and the blessings of God will rest. Thank you for your time this morning.